have to bring Christ into the situation. So the devil was heaping up mountain upon the mountain. That's what he was literally doing, to obstruct the way, to obstruct the kingdom. And because of their unbelief, they couldn't remove the mountain, and they had to fall back on Christ. Of course, that's the best place to fall back, isn't it? So it's the only place to fall back. Now, Luke gives us a sycamore tree. And, you know, they may look small. They may appear as a bush, but they still had tremendous root structure. Tremendous roots. And this suggests to us, as I said, an immovable object that's deep-rooted in our own life, inwardly, the internal, the inward sin, the inward difficulty, the inward trial. It's sin that's eradicable by unaided human power. Or self-will. No matter how hard we try, we all have had the experience, we've all seen it. We fight something, we really want to get it out of our life, we want to get rid of it, and we keep failing, Until what happens? We get down and we say, Lord, I've had it. I can't, this thing's got me whipped. I have been had. I can't do it. The Lord says, I know that. I know you couldn't do it. Now you know you couldn't do it. But I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And so we come to the Lord with the thing, and what happens? He takes care of it. When we've given it to His hand. And there is no problem that He can't handle. But we forget that all the time. And we fight it, and we battle with it, and we carry it. And I do the same thing. But the Lord is able to handle every problem. It doesn't matter how bad it is. You know, we had an experience. Some of the brethren here, we'd been laboring with a certain couple, and we finally got together, prayed about it, and said, well, we've done all we can do. Lord, it's in your hands. We can't do anything. And He took care of it. Solved it beautifully. We couldn't solve it. But He did. And He will, and He can. Not that we weren't trying to leave it in His hands all along. But He brought us to the point where we knew we couldn't do anything with it. And He had to do it. And He did do it. Thank God. And even in our language today, we have that very thing, don't we, concerning deep-rooted things. We say that a problem is so deeply rooted, a habit or a custom, that it's hard to break. We use that in our common language every day. Prejudices, passions, and they're so hard to do away with. And this, I believe, this is what the Lord is trying to bring out here. If you have the faith of God, even these can be got rid of. And they need to be dealt with, don't they? Those are individual things within our own heart. We mentioned the first one we covered out of the three that we were talking about in this group here was forgiveness. It's hard, isn't it, to forgive? It's not easy to forgive, especially when people don't come to ask for forgiveness. You really can't forgive them. You can act in forgiveness. We can forgive them, but they cannot have forgiveness until they ask for forgiveness on their part. But we can forgive them on our part. You can't. But it's hard. If we're honest, it's very hard sometimes to do that. But the Lord says even that can be taken care of. And it should be taken care of if we're going to have success in the Lord. We're to forgive freely. And He tells us that increases our faith. They said, Lord, increase our faith. What have they just been talking about? Forgiving. Don't forgive seven times. Forgive seven times seven. 449 times. Really, truly, graciously forgive. And that's what we have before us in the sycamore tree. Now, what happens? How do these things come about? We have to get practical. We mentioned last week that the first thing we have to do is come before the Lord believing. Really believing, first, that He is God. And that He is present. And that He will answer prayer. they all come together, but those things must be believed if our prayer is to be answered at all. We must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Because if we don't believe that, the rest of our prayer is dead. It's faithless. We must truly believe that He is God, that He is present, that He hears, and that He answers prayer. The psalmist says not only does He hear, but He answers. Many times He answers before we ask. Now, the thought most prominent in this lesson before us, this portion, is the authority, and this is staggering. This, when I run into this thing, it shocked me for months. I'm telling you the truth. But it's the authority found in faith, and with which faith is clothed. Now, when we come to the Lord Jesus and found Him, or He found us, and we receive Him as personal Savior, that was a total act of faith. Now, that same faith has to go on and be propagated if we're to walk by faith continuously. Total trust and reliance in His love, in His ability, in His willingness, and in His grace to answer prayer. And He will answer prayer. That's His desire. Now, the three evangelists all agree on this here that I'm about to say. And you know, if you noticed when I was reading, I stressed the word. And it is really, I haven't got a hold of it totally yet, I'll be honest with you. It's staggering. Matthew reads this way. He says, "If ye have faith, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove." Notice he said say. Mark reads, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain." Then we find Luke says, "Be thou removed, and be thou cast," Mark says that, "Be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Then Luke says, reads this way, "If ye had faith," or the faith of God, "ye might say," again, "say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Notice that. Say, obey. Now, we might take notice that the coincidence is too remarkable. Three times over, and twice in Matthew, it's not an incident or an accident. God doesn't make accidents in His Word. In all these instances, notice it does not say pray, it says to say. When that thing caught me, it really rattled my cage. I'll tell you. And when I got to studying, it really rattled my cage. This is not a word of petition, but a word of direction. Think of it now. Remember we started out by talking of the high priest in the holiest? Here we are in the presence of holy God. We are in prayer. And we say, for this thing, this mountain, this sycamore tree, be removed. And it shall be removed. It shall obey. Not as one supplicating, but the language used is one commanding as a sovereign. Now, I don't know what that startled me to death when I read that. Do you realize what that is saying? You and I? Are you and me? As individual sinners saved by grace, are given the authority of God to say, be removed, and it'll be removed. Now, that, of course, is clear. If we come to a mountain, then it means it's in our path. If we're walking in a path well-pleasing to the Lord, in other words, in fellowship with Himself, walking in the light, as He is in the light, in fellowship, that's prerequisite, then we can say, obey. And that thing will obey. The master over all gives his servant his own power and also trusts him with authority to command. That's what it's doing. And this is what I believe is the very lesson, the very heart of this lesson on faith. Remember we mentioned about the grain of mustard seed? What did it have that the mountain didn't have? It had life. Faith has the very life of God in it because it's based in Him. The faith of God. It has the very power of God in it. You remember we were talking about you can take that little seed and put it in a crack in the great boulder and it'll split the boulder. Given time. It'll germinate, it'll grow, and it'll crack that great rock. Or it'll get under the edge of it and start growing and hurtle that great rock down the mountain. That rock doesn't have anything in itself. But the seed does. It has life. The mountain is an obstacle. The faith of the mustard seed can remove that mountain. Why? Because it has the life of God in it. And is there any limitation to God? None. Beloved, what do we have in ourselves? We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. The very person of the Godhead. In fact, that God the Father and God the Son also dwell in us, we're told. Faith claims not only blessing, but the power to bless. Now this is so far-reaching and so limitless that it's frightening. And it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. Ye have not. Why? Because ye ask not. Boy, that's humbling, isn't it? How many times do we fail? More times than we succeed. Because we do not take God at His word. We do not take God at His word. We can remove mountains. There is no obstacle that cannot be removed by faith. Whether it be something in the inward life or an obstacle before us. Including the need for a building or whatever else we need. If they are obstacles in our path for Christ, they can be removed and put in the place we tell them to be put. And we can do that with authority. With authority, walking in God's will. This lesson, to me, is so astounding that it's incredible. It has really just overwhelmed me. Every time I look at it, faith staggers at such a promise. Does it not? I don't know about yours, but mine does. It staggers at such a promise that Almighty God will give us that power. So let's together seek to take in with real reverence the very thought and do it very reverently. Faith in God so unites to God that it passes beyond the privilege of asking to the power of commanding. That's Scripture. We have that borne out right in the very language before us. This language of Christ, as we said, is not a language of request, however bold, but that of absolute command. And I was so shook with that, I went digging to see what some able men had to say about that. And I found out they agree with that. I really felt good because I got to it before they did. Before I found out they did. Makes you feel good when you do that, you know? Because it tells you the Spirit of God that worked in them is working in you. And it makes the reality of Christ a reality, isn't it? In our very life. But think of it. He gives us not only the authority, but the right to command in faith. As James says, without wavering. There are prerequisites. God said, be light, and light was. Genesis chapter 1, 3. The very same language. It's the very same language. Think of it. The very language and the power that God used to bring light into, it's not into existence, because he said light to, the light to be shed abroad, and it was. It was already in existence, because he's light. But it was spread abroad. But the same authority, the same power is given to you and I. Not to create light, but to shed light. The light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And the truth of God is light. And he gives us the authority to take that to men and women and to see it change their lives. And he gives us the authority to use it in our own life and to see it change our lives. And it will change our lives. And it does change our lives because it's living. What does he say to his disciples? He says in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 11, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. Now, he said that to the Israelites. He did not say that to New Testament believers. And if that applies to Israelites, then how much more to those of us saved by grace and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God? As to the works of my hands, command ye me. It's the very same thought. Very same language. And so by laying hold of faith, the power of omnipotent God, one issues the command, be thou removed. Believing. Absolutely, totally confident that it will be done, and it will be done. Be thou plucked up by the roots, and it was so. And it is so. Now, nature gives us examples of these things. There are laws of nature, such as light and heat and gravity and chemical reaction, attraction and repulsion and adhesion, cohesion, magnetism, electricity, and we could go on and on and on and on and on. I just wrote down a few so I could remember. But all those are called laws of nature. They're laws of God. And we use them all the time, don't we? The molecular interaction of wood with wood keeps a seat there so we can sit on it and not fall down. The wood's dead. But it still holds us up, doesn't it? Because that's the way God has made it to work, with the laws of nature. Now, they all work within very specific limits or laws. They have to. And we couldn't do any of the things that we do with radios or telecommunications or any other thing, locomotion or anything else, if we didn't use those laws the way they're designed to be used. When we use inertia, for instance, the law of inertia, in an improper way, it has disastrous results, doesn't it? You go out here and take this corner out here, or try to, at 90 miles an hour, what happens? Well, you'll roll over forever. Why? Because it's a law of inertia, but you're taking it out of its proper use, and you're misapplying it by trying to make it go around the corner with too much inertia. And it won't work. It has a result that goes, that's what they use when they send the thing up to the moon. They use the very law of inertia to throw it away from the magnetism of the earth, don't they? They're using the laws that God has given. And we use those laws all the time. And so, obey the law of the power, and the power obeys you. Obey the law of the power, and the power obeys you. We need to learn to obey the power of God, and the power of God, and I say that with all reverence, will obey us. God says so. And that is staggering. When you think, what can we do? How did... there goes his name. It was right in my tongue and it slipped. The one that had the orphans anyway. Who? Mueller. Yeah, thank you. Mueller, look at the faith he had. He applied the law of God. God says, you ask, and I will give. And he'd get up and he'd give thanks for food that wasn't on the table. That wasn't even in the house. And did he get it? Yes, he got it. Why? Because he obeyed the laws of God, walked by faith, lived by faith, lived for God, walked in the path of God, well-pleasing to God, and when he commanded, he got what he commanded. Why? Because he obeyed the laws, and the laws of God obeyed him. God says, I'll supply all your need according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Did he supply the need? There was absolutely a need. 75 children stone hungry and no food. He met the need. Can he meet the need? Absolutely. Mueller on his deathbed said, I could ask the Lord for $6 million today with absolute confidence. And I get it. You see, he had learned to obey the laws of God, and the laws of God obeyed him. And he had full confidence in the faithfulness of God. Do we need a building? Yeah. What kind of building? I don't know. But we need buildings. Or maybe we need more than one building. Can God supply that need? Did he create that need? Absolutely. Can he meet that need? He sure can. Will he? As soon as we lay a hold of faith, he'll meet it. But we've got to get together as a whole body and get this show on the road. Thank God for the prayer meetings, and God honors prayer. And he'll do it in spite of a lack of 100% participation, which we probably couldn't get because of the stresses of life. But he can meet them. Doesn't matter what the need. Can he meet our needs in our life, in our own life? Certainly he can. If we just learn to obey the laws of God, then they'll obey us. In the spiritual realm, there is one all-subduing, all-controlling force or power or energy. What is that? The Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that controls the whole thing. And where is he? He's in me. He's in you. He's in all our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, if he's in us, is there any limit to what he can do through us? All we have to do is let the power operate according to his laws. Meditate the law of the Lord day and night. Be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. That is just staggering. And you, dear parents, you really need that, don't you? Because it's beyond the wisdom of man to bring up children, especially in this world today, glorifying to God, and to see them preserved. But can God do it? He certainly can. Why? Because he wants to. He says, if you will honor me, I will honor you. You see, there's a law there. And we need, that's why it's so important that we let the Word of God just permeate us. And we wonder why we have messes in our families and we have all kinds of uncontrollable situations. It's because we're not permeated with the laws of God. Genesis to Revelation. And we're not living by them. When I say permeated, I don't mean just in our head, but controlling our life. Oh, what powers we can be for God. And when I think of that, I'm amazed that God in his grace has seen fit to take you and me and save souls through us and use us to glorify himself. When we are so negligent and we're so unaware of the mighty power of God, and we hinder it. And yet, even with that, in His love and His grace and His mercy and His long-suffering and His patience, He uses us in spite of ourselves for His own glory. And He says another thing, and we all need to learn this constantly. Love one another. Forgive one another. And I have to learn that too, just like you do. Every day. We need to pray for one another so we can love one another and realize we're in the family of God. And forgive one another. Just think for a moment. Now, I'm not saying this about anybody in here, but think for a moment, myself included. Am I the one that is hindering the going onward of building for God's testimony, for God's assembly? Am I the one? I could be. It was Achan that wrecked the situation for Israel, and they got into all kinds of trouble because I have an unforgiving heart. Because I have a pride, self-righteous heart. Because I don't love my brothers and sisters in Christ as I should. It's frightening, isn't it? That the mighty power of Almighty God is being scrunched because of me. And someday I've got to stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ and have Him look at me with those loving, tender eyes as He looked at Peter and say, Bob, you know, you were the cause that the testimony, that Bible truth was hindered. Oh, beloved, God forbid. God forbid that anyone should have an unforgiving heart or a heart of contention towards their brethren. Because the scripture says, a content God will not look upon graciously upon a contentious person. And a contentious person is to be judged. Even contention. We're not to cause contention. Oh, how we need to be in God's presence. Makes us realize how more important prayer is, doesn't it? Now we need to conform. This is a quote. This is not mine. Conform to the laws and models of the Spirit's operations and in the work of God's hands, and you may command the Spirit's power. That's a quote I took from another brother, an able brother who's gone to be with the Lord, but highly respected, a very able man. Conform to the laws and modes of the Spirit's operations, and in the work of God's hands, you may command the Spirit's power. The Spirit's power is unlimited, beloved. To meet every need, every single need. Oh, how we need to cry unto God. Coleridge wrote, faith is an affirmation, an act, that bids eternal truth be fact. It's an act of faith that bids eternal fact be truth. Or eternal truth be fact. And A.T. Pearson put it this way many, many years ago. Faith issues its sublime decree, its holy fiat, let it be. Commands a deeply rooted tree be plucked up, planted in the sea. Or bids the mountain to depart, believing, doubting, not in heart. That what faith wills, willeth, shall be done, because faith's will with God is one. By mystic union with His Son, concerning work of God's own hand, He bids us His own power command. And so prayer asks not, but decrees, knows no impossibilities. It knows no impossibilities. Oh, what power we have in prayer. in believing, unhindered prayer. And next, given the opportunity, we covered forgiving to some degree, and this believing. And the next one we want to go to will be persistence in prayer. That's the third one that we had in mind. Father, we just bow before Thee in utmost reverence and in awe and godly fear at the tremendous power of God that Thou hast put at our disposal. And oh, blessed God and Father, we pray that we might learn to obey the powers of God, that the powers of God may obey us. For then we'll be walking in Thy will, pleasing to Thy Son. Oh, that we might see the mighty power of God unleashed in this assembly, in this neighborhood, in our homes, for the sole purpose of the glory of God. Father, do help us to love one another. Help us to be forgiving one to the other, and help us to really care for one another and to be appreciative of one another and all the gifts that we have through each other, all through the Holy Spirit. And oh, may we not hinder the Holy Spirit in His mighty work, but rather our Father and our God, in the will of God, by the faith of God, command Him to do mighty works to the glory of God. Remember all the prayers and petitions and praise that have gone up before Thee, our Father. We would add our hearty amen, and we pray that the glory and the honor and the praise is Thine. Take each one of us to our homes in safety. Father, do remember those that are tired and weary and disappointed and discouraged and sick and going through difficult times, and undertake and meet their needs, we pray Thee. Father, remember our city, so wicked and so sinful and so needy, and Thou hast planted us here to meet that need. Help us to meet that need by the power of God. Remember every testimony to the glory of God, we pray Thee now, as we give Thee thanks for our Lord Jesus and everything that we have in Him, every good and perfect blessing that comes down from the Father of lights, the Father of eternity. Oh, we ask these things in that altogether lovely, authoritative name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Before we go real quick, I just want to say something.
There's a table here.